This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
You know, because I actually want to make this like a journey. So your life as a reaver, you said in the beginning you're not happy with some of the things and some of the things you may have done.
Of course.
For the sake of benefit, maybe there's some reverts listening right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they're in the
This applies to any human being, really. Yeah.
So like, what kind of mistakes did you feel like you made?
Well, I think the biggest thing was fundamentally not really learning about Islam, what it truly is. I mean, for the first few years as being a Muslim, I had no real idea why Allah was worthy of worship, which is our most fundamental question, or at least it's the most fundamental thing that we have to understand, because it's our raison d'etre, it's our reason for being, it's our reason for existence. Why is Allah worthy of worship? So that really disconnected me away from true spiritual practice, which is, you know, being connected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another thing was, you know, not seeing Islam holistically and seeing a very kind of ideological sense.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and that creates a hard heart. Mm. And, you know, my dad was a hero for me. So when I become Muslim, what do I do? Does he remain a hero? So I had this binary thinking.
It's like he can't be anymore because he's not a Muslim.
Yeah, which is stupid, really. Yeah, because we know the Prophet ﷺ would praise non-Muslims for some virtuous things that they did, or some of their virtues. And Allah says in the Quran, in Surah Al-Imran, verse 113, people are not the same. They're upright people from, you know, like the Christians and the Jews. And, you know, we don't have this kind of binary thinking. It's far more nuanced. Anyway, the point is, I had to now break my idol, if you like, or break down my hero. So I made my father, which is really bad, it's just ego, really. I made my father think that he was like worthless, like, you know, anything he did good didn't exist. And the fact, and I made all of his kind of negative things or mistakes, I just highlighted them and zoomed in on them and said, look, this is why you're not worthy of respect. This is why you're not worthy, you know, to be honored and valued, which is totally un-Islamic. And I remember once we're having such a big argument because my dad had, you know, a wrong interpretation of Islam. He felt Islam was very external, the beard and the clothes, which is not the case. We have a very powerful, you know, inner spiritual tradition. But it's my fault. Maybe I didn't show that to him, and maybe the Muslim community didn't show that to him, right?
That's very deep.
So, and I was having a debate about this. And then I just wanted to, from what I remember, I just wanted to rip into him, and I made him feel really, really, really bad, to the point he ran out into the garden and he was so upset. He was smoking and he was basically saying, this is how Islam teaches you to treat your father? I mean, that's powerful stuff. You can't treat your dad like that, right? So what happened was, is I remember even telling my mother, like, you know, my dad's dead for me in my head. You know, this is this evil, nasty stuff. I mean, subhanAllah, if I could meet myself, you know, then, as I am now, I would probably give myself a couple of slaps at least, yeah? But this is the journey of life, bro. And it's the ego, because it was the ego that made me have these interpretations, right? So what happened is I went to this kind of psychology, existential life coaching 3-day thing. I think it was around 3 days. And it made me realize that I need to take back control of my relationship. I need to understand things properly. Well, they teach you to try and do breakthroughs, that you take the blame for your failed relationships, right? So because a relationship between two people, it's not binary. Someone, not one person holds all the power with regards to the relationship. Yeah. It's more fluid, right? So they teach you that, well, take control, enroll people in your behavior. If you want love at home, then you be loving. If you want certainty, then you become certain.
You make the change.
If you want compassion, then you too make the change yourself. So you enroll people in your behavior. And also they make you realize that, you know, some of your interpretations are just false, and they're based on your drama, as I mentioned earlier. And they're trying to break down your ego and trying to show you that actually this is all based on your ego. Because what is the ego? Is that you always want to be right, you never want to be wrong. You always want to impose, you never want to be imposed upon. You always want to look good, you never want to look bad. Excessively, to the extent where you will give up being true to yourself. Because what's important is not being right, it's being true to yourself. What's important is not looking good, it's being true to yourself. What's important is not imposing and preventing anyone imposing on you, it's actually being true to yourself. Because if you're true to yourself, sometimes you just have to admit, I was wrong. Sometimes you have to not look good, like admit your mistakes and say, yes, this is a failing, I need to improve. So being true to yourself is far more important. But what the ego does, it prevents you from being true to yourself because it always wants to be right. It never wants to be wrong. It always wants to impose. It never wants to be imposed upon. It always wants to look good, never wants to look bad. So it makes you realize, well, this is your nafs, right? And this is actually Islamic, right? Because shaitan, right, he's our teacher. Because he teaches us how not to be. He teaches us how not to be. And this is exactly what shaitan was like. He had that ego, right? That kibar.
Yes.
And that's why he wouldn't bow down to Adam. So from that point of view, when I realized that, I had to have a breakthrough. So I called my father.
Yeah, what happened?
I remember it was a Sunday. It was quite emotional. I picked up the phone and said, Dad, I want to speak to you. And he was nursing my granddad, who I loved so much. And I still love. I mean, he passed away. I loved him so much. And he was nursing my grandfather for like 2 or 3 years in Greece. And that was something that I felt my dad wouldn't be able to do because he's a bit squirmish. He doesn't like hospitals and cleaning stuff and blood and all of that stuff. But his love really transcended his shortcomings from that point of view. So that was very inspirational as well. So what happened was is I just picked up the phone. I said, Dad, I want to speak to you. And he's like, whoa, he never speaks to me. I'm not a phone person, right? And I would hardly speak to my father when he was away anyway, which was a very bad thing to do. So I called him and I just really apologized. And I said, Dad, you know, I'm really sorry. You know, it's all my fault. I made you feel like this, but you're still my hero, even though you don't believe in what I believe in. You know, you're the best father. You're a great grandfather. I said all these amazing things. And I started crying, obviously, and he was crying. And I've already seen my dad only cry a few times in his life. And, you know, he spoke to my mom, I think that evening. He said that he was ready now to pass away. He felt complete as a father. You know what's really interesting about that breakthrough? It really helped the dawah.